Hello, and welcome to another edition of Kaleidoscope. This is Magda Zenon, recording here from downtown hot Nicosia. And with me, all the way from the UK, I have Marzia Baba Karhal, a former Afghan family court judge and a lifelong advocate for women's rights. Welcome, Marzia.
Thank you for your kind introduction. Thank you.
Marzia, all of us that are in women's rights are experiencing a bit of trauma at this time with all the battles we have made so far, all the gains we have had, and suddenly everything has been taken away. But you tell me about you because you have a very interesting journey. Your journey to where you are today has been interesting and difficult. So introduce yourself to the listeners.
My name is Marzia Baba Karhal, and I am a former family court judge. My journey to become a judge was not easy one. I was lucky because I born in a very good and well-educated family, so I supported by my parents. Life is, that time, life was not easy for women in Afghanistan. And of course, these days we can't compare life, women life in Afghanistan in that time I was grow up. I was a naughty child during my school, but so one day I just I was with my dad to pick up my mother from school because she was a teacher. And suddenly my dad would jump from the car to give a respect to someone or would say hi to someone. Just I saw a very beautiful lady in the maybe that's around 40s. So when he came back to the car and I asked, who was this lady? And that told she is the first family court judge in Palakumri, in the city I was born. And that, I think, is she, Nafisa, Judge Nafisa Sherzad. She's not anymore with us. She encouraged me and inspired me. In women's life, we always encourage and inspire by each other. Mm. The problem, we never credit each other. That's the problem.
I agree.
When we became someone, we just ignore all the, you know, the background of our life, the reality. And the first role model of our life is our mother, our grandmother. And the women, if they are not educated, still they are running the family, especially in Afghanistan, in the villages. So when I became motivated by Judge Nafisa, and I've been to uni and Sharia faculty in Kabul University. I've been to the judiciary training, and after I came to Palakumri as a judge. The problem, when you're young, you have a different kind of understanding of life. My understanding was just to have a status, have a name as a judge. I was very naive, and I had no idea what's going on inside in women life in Afghanistan, because I grew up the very balanced family. There is about so always we learned. When I was a trainee at the court, during my training in the court, Palakumri, just I saw women around, there's no respect, the people, especially, the law is not very kind to them. And that's because I was...
You're being very generous by using the word not very kind.
That time I was a clerk. The clerk, you have no power to interfere to something or to make a decision. So when I became a judge, I tried to change the behavior of the court from the staff. If there is administration staff, they also treated women the very not the right way they should. I'm inspired by that time. I'm inspired by maybe your audience will be shocked. I am inspired by a woman. She had adultery case, to be honest, because when she came to the court and I spoke with her, and she was her presentation. You know, the way she was tried to stand for herself was better than me as a judge, to be honest. And I asked her why you did this, and she told me, "You don't know, you're very young." And I said, "What? She's so strong." And her family, husband, they all blame her too, because she was raped by a mullah. You know, the mullah, they making in Afghanistan, in some Muslim country we know, we call jadu, like magic, you know, like you write a magic to, you know, you could, because she was not able to deliver a baby. She had some problem, and she'd been to the mullah to write her a magic to deliver the baby. So, and I told her, "Why you did this?" She told me, "Because they warned me to divorce you if you know if you don't have a baby." So that's the reason. So I knew I every day. I was thinking about this lady. It's still in my life. I'm thinking about her. She was young. She told me she had no place in this house. She cooking for all the family, and just the husband called her when need her. So she inspired me. I just why we inspire when you see injustice, things is not right. You inspire. You're not inspired because something very good on everything is in the right direction. You're inspired by someone if they be bold. You are inspired by bold people, not by weak people.
Or by people that challenge the system or do things differently than what is
Absolutely.
seen around you or
Absolutely.
accepted around you.
Absolutely. Maybe some people they say, "Oh, I'm inspired by my professor," and I'm saying I'm inspired by the lady with the, you know, with adultery case. I'm inspired by her because she was a strong-minded lady, and I admire her. She opened the door for me. She opened my eyes. What is justice and what is wrong? What is right?
I have to say that the person that inspired me was my professor.
Wow.
Because when I went to university 100 years ago, not 100 years ago, I was born in apartheid South Africa. And at that time, I was studying international relations, international law. South Africa was under sanctions, and my international law professor, who subsequently became the special representative for the occupied Palestinian territories, he was my professor. And I know that if it wasn't for him, where I saw how high he went and how he was working in a space that was not easy, he was the one that made me realize, not gave me the space to carry on, even though I was different, or not different, strong word, a minority. I was one
Yes.
student, and I actually sent him an email about 10 years, 15 years ago to thank him. So inspiration comes
Yeah.
in different ways. I was inspired because it was during a time that there were restrictions everywhere, and being pro-Palestinian or thinking out of the box or thinking in a global community rather than in a local context was quite radical. So inspiration, I do say, I always say he's one of the three or four people in my life that inspired me to be what I am today. So
Yeah,
we
of
all get
course.
different. But I,
Of
we all
course.
get this, it's, inspiration from different places. And each of us, the important people and the people that are challenged, also inspires. So please
Yeah.
carry on about your woman who challenged the system.
The lady, I can't say her name and all because
No,
of
no.
her safety. When I've been to home and I spoke about her with my family, and this was not one case, two, three cases, the same situation. And as I said, I was really naive and was no idea what should I do. My mother told me, stop to bring the story of the court to our table, because that will affect mentally my brother and my sister, because they was very young. And so I was thinking, what should I do with for these women? Because when you're a judge, you're tied by the law. I would never ever. I want to tell everyone, I was never ever think about activism. I had no idea what is activism. In 90s, a girl in Afghanistan, I had no idea what's activism. Who encourage you? Who want you to stand against injustice, the system, the corruption, the wrong people? They encourage you to stand against them. That's all I understand in my life. Activism is not about acting. Activism about what is inside you, what you feel for your country, what you feel for women and around the world. For me, it doesn't matter which women in Africa, in America, in Canada, in Afghanistan. It's all about women. It's all about women. That's just activism. When I was in Esau, somebody asked me, why you became activist? I said, because she is not activist. She don't know. How can you ask someone why you became activist? And I born in Afghanistan. Being a judge not means you have no heart. You
Exactly.
have no brain, So, of course, when I was young, it was a different Marcia. That time I was just looking for a status. I should agree. I should accept my mistake as well in my life.
But it's not a mistake, it's a journey and a learning.
Oh,
It's not
yes.
a mistake.
So it's still, like sometimes you're just looking for a kind of a status, kind of, like to be famous or to be a good, have a good position, or be a judge, or be a doctor. That was, life is starting. In that time, I built a shelter again with the help of some of friends. They introduced me to UNICEF office in Mazar-e Sharif. That's very close to Pulau Qumri. And slowly, slowly, I connected with international people. To be honest, I have friends from that time, still I'm in contact with them, and they helped me for funding my shelter, because the shelter was not a big shelter. We just did some and we built a room in our farm, in my family farm. I invited these women to be there, to stay there. In 90s, divorce was very difficult when in Afghanistan. It was not, you're not accepted by your family. In 90s is not the same Afghanistan like today, like in before, and during Karzai or during Mujahideen. My time was very difficult time for some women, and especially villages. So that is the reason when the Taliban came, of course, my idea and my principle was not accepted by some of by male member of my family, to be honest.
I'm
I
sure it
had,
wasn't.
So what I was through in my life, I don't want to, ask for people stand for me or for sympathy. But what I was through in my life, I think maybe thousands of women around the world, they have the same experience. I'm not the one. I'm not the
No,
one.
but
Yeah.
I think that's what we all need to say, that if you speak out, you will then realize that you're not alone in what you have to say. And there's a lot
Absolutely.
of strength in that, and strength especially because it can also lead to collaboration and support.
Absolutely. But because without unity, we cannot do anything. Yeah, I agree. So that's the reason, when the Taliban came and they came to my house, of course, because some of my, some male in our community, they never said, when I told them salam, yeah, hi, they never reply. They never gave me respect. I think that's the reason. Life was very complicated for me. Life was very, very difficult during my work. I think my work, not as a judge, just not inspire me. I think that was a good lesson to learn. And the law is in that time, the law was different for male and female. For like they treat the both not in there is a no balance, to be honest.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a no balance. It's not about rich or poor. It's about your gender.
Yes. But tell
Yeah.
me, what did you do when you upset the Taliban?
When the Taliban came in Pulkhumri, so they came to our door, and I feel really sorry always and always for my mother, because my mother sometimes was she was questioned by people because of me. She questioned by my uncles, by very close member of the family. Why not she stopping me? Like to do this, and I feel deeply, deeply, deeply sorry to my mother. When they came and they opened the door, they direct came to our house, and my mom told me, run, run, run. I was run in the back door we have in Afghanistan. We put, the stuff or maybe the things there, and I was waited for more than an hour. And when they finished the searching, and they told my mother they will come again, and my mom is responsible to handed me to the Taliban. So when they left the home, and when I came back to the house, the face of my sisters. Maybe some people they think why I'm extremely stand for Afghan female judges, or the people, the women, they worked in the legal system in Afghanistan. I saw the same tragic, hopeless face when I saw my youngest sister, my brother. My mom was a brave woman. When they call me, when they talk to me, I just felt, believe me, the same situation. I go back the same situation.
But that's the way it is. And people
Yes.
don't understand that.
Yes, absolutely. They think, oh, why she's crying in there? Why she is standing there? Because I know who is the Taliban. Trust me, 11 man is coming to just search for one lady. Is called Marzia. She had no gun. She not a police. She not a army. She not a general. But she just a judge. Shame of them.
No,
Shame of them.
but I think to me that is when I, and if we bring it up to contemporary times, when I see someone like Trump attacking Taylor Swift, the singer, or Greta Thunberg, the activist, and you think, why is one man who is so powerful or appears to be so powerful threatened by the voice of one woman.
Yes.
And I think that's what a lot of us don't realize. Not a lot, a lot of people don't realize that they're not all powerful. Someone needs to stand up. It's scary. It can get you killed. But when you speak, your voice, there's a lot of strength in your voice. Malala also proved it from Pakistan. These men hear one woman speak and they get scared.
Yeah, so I think it's in every country. And Malala's story was, that the Taliban came because she was with the school and they shoot her. But women in Afghanistan, to be honest, we have thousands of thousands of stories like Malala.
I'm sure you
Thousands of
do.
thousands of stories. Some people, they have a chance, but some people, they have very highly or tough or stories, but no one there to tell.
Yes, I agree.
That's the
Totally
problem.
agree.
Yeah, that's the problem. And for me, my mom told me to leave Afghanistan, and how I decide and how without wanting to do something, and I left Afghanistan to Pakistan. That's all the journey alone. We had family there, with your young sister there, and you have no plan to leave. That is not easy, not for me, not for thousands of refugees. They left their countries, not just
Got
Afghanis.
you.
I left thousands of refugees. They leave their country. We blame by people. Oh, they don't know what we survive. That's the problem.
No, I agree with you. Leaving your country for whatever reason, being forced to leave your country is very hard. It's very
Absolutely.
hard to find your space again, to find your safety again,
Yeah.
to find your voice again. To find the people to support you again.
Yes.
And
Yeah.
you left after Pakistan. Where did you go to?
I left Pakistan. When I traveled to Pakistan, I stayed in Pakistan again. I think I have some problem. When I was walked in to the market, and I saw my boys, girls, Afghani boys, they washing the cars and they polishing the shoes. Working is not a big deal. Any work is work. But you have also with work, your life. For young generation, especially for children, they need education. Work is a time, like life as a step. And I said with myself, I said, can we establish the school here? One thing is coming in my mind. I really don't like to say that I did this, I did this. But I inspired by someone to I became like the soldier. I was talking with my friends there, and because some of the my friend from Supreme Court, they left Kabul to they became a refugee in Pakistan. I told them, can we come together and put some money and establish a school for refugees. Some of them was laughing. They said, Marzia, you came from Pulukumri to be safe here, and you don't have money, and you're thinking about the school. What is wrong with you? So I don't know when do we have a very good English saying in karma, what goes around, come around, sounds like kind
Yes.
of like that. So I, when my mom came after a big fight with the Taliban, and she left also, she escaped. And I decided to ask one of my friend. She her sister was in America, and we would ask for donation. And we bought a license. License is a business, because the
Yes,
school is a
exactly.
business in Pakistan. And we bought the license of someone, and we start,
A school.
education project in Pakistan with empty, with nothing with me, nothing, no education experience. And my mom, of course, my sister, my friends, I'm not allowed to just give my respect and my love and my appreciations to each of them. And they all come together and we established a school. The school was a boys' school, and I made the plan to have both boys and girls. In these days, my student, they sending me messages from America. They doing PhD. They been for masters. Their English perfect. And so that is all, we all women together, we make a big changes. That was not my
Absolutely.
school. The school was donated by a woman from America, one of my friend's sister. And the school was looked after by other women. They all was working the Supreme Court. There was another judges. There was just my friend from the Supreme Court. And we made big changes in women and boys' life in Pakistan. So of course my work was not popular again. We had a problem with the commissary. It's called commissary. I don't know if they're still there or not. It's an office for refugees. And when my work is coming up on media in a newspaper in Pakistan, and we offer the lost family free school, and if they have six children, the three can come
For
for
free.
free. Yeah, so I think that's the kind of
But
kind
doesn't
of
the but
huh,
doesn't this
sorry.
when I hear you speaking about the fact that you brought education to these children and what they've done since then, it actually shows you or makes it a lot more clear of why Donald Trump is attacking the universities. Because
Yes.
educated people think, which means educated people are not going to accept everything you tell them to do. And I think the
Absolutely.
fact that the people are not reacting, regardless of the political leanings of each university, the fact that the universities are being attacked to me is so serious because you want stupid people. It
Yeah.
means to me you want stupid people. You want people that don't think. People that think, people that have a voice are so scary for leaders, and I think we need to push for it in any way that we can.
The problem is around the world is not one country problem. It's a worldwide problem.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, because when there is something wrong, we can't ignore them. If they have a pain, if they have a problem, we most involved, then they are happy, to be honest.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the way of my stay in Pakistan was to establish a school, and my student, they are well educated than mine now, to be honest.
But that's a credit to you. And we all need to aspire that the generation that comes after us is has more critical thinking and better tools than we do.
Absolutely, because their education now is a very modern education. One of my students, I can mention her name. Is called Khatima Hemami. She doing her PhD. She's in America. She left Afghanistan during that Taliban. So she now is doing a great job. She has a job. She is inspired others. She is a good writer, and always I'm thinking about her when she was in school in year one, in year two, in year three, and she now is like is a leader. So yeah. So yes. Yeah.
So when did you then you had to leave Pakistan as well? You then left Pakistan as well.
Yeah, so when the Taliban is over the regime and that time, the first time, I back to Afghanistan. Of course, I start again everything from zero, from scratch. And but because the Taliban, they took all of, our house things. That time, we're not able to go and to rebuild the house very quick because, for making everything anew or reconstruction was not easy for me that time. It
And
was not my house.
it also needs a lot of money.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I don't want to mention this. So that's what the reason. And my mom stayed in Pakistan, and because our school was in Pakistan, our education project was already in Pakistan. The good thing, I was involved with the ANCB, is a Afghan ANCB. This is kind of coordination of all the national NGOs in Afghanistan.
Okay.
Yeah, so I became a member of the board, and I became the chair of the women committee of ANCB. Slowly, slowly, my connection became more more better with international community. And when I was in Kabul, I joined the visitor leadership program to America. I've been to education project and many, many projects and trip I've been. So when I came back from America, and some of my, of course, we have always, we have the group of enemies, the group of the people, they want support you, and they try to blame us about the curriculum of my school. They put, like kind of complain to the Pakistani government against my school. So after 2005 and 6, again, Afghanistan, we are not safe. That our girls were not safe in villages, and the problem was increased day by day. And my mom, because was in Pakistan, my brother was in Pakistan, and because my family home was in Pakistan that time, and I have to over travel to Pakistan to visit my mother. And one day, when my brother called me, and mom was in hospital, and I've been to Pakistan to visit my mother. So that time was the second time the Taliban tried to kill me by hitting me by car. Very
Whoa.
badly. Yeah, they hit me by car. Yeah. So that was the difficult time we had, because I was in
And this
hospital.
was in 2006.
2007,
2000,
2007.
okay.
Yeah. And my mom was in hospital. I was in hospital, and the weakness of the Taliban, I have the proof, because when I was in Pallister, and my back, my leg, and we received a call in that time. There is a mobile, but mobile was not very popular at that time. We received a call, and in our landline, and they said, how was the gift she received? And how was the gift she received? That is sure.
It must be so terrifying.
Yeah, the humanity, the respect, the religion, the heart they have, Why I'm extremely stand for this campaign. Because I extremely know how the Taliban is tough for the women they're working in justice system. I know that, I have experience. I no need to give a proof to someone, to
Yes.
organization, to the government, to the anyone else. It's my country, it's my pain, it's my problem, it's my heart. So when I that time I was not able, I'm sorry to say that, to go to the toilet. And they call me, and they te not teasing me, they're punishing me. Emotionally, they kill
Yes.
me. Yeah, they try emotionally to kill me, but still I stand. Sometimes I should say thank you to them. You know why? Because they made me like a stone. Believe me, I'm a stone. I never, never, ever think about I will be alive tomorrow or not. Because I did everything I can, like thousands of women they're doing for their country, for women in around the world. But we have a good English saying, we say a leopard cannot change their spots. That
Yes.
Taliban never ever changed, to be honest. They became more extreme than we accept in that time, the first time when they was in power in Afghanistan.
And is that the reason you left and went to the UK?
Yeah, so when I was recovered some, when I was recovering and I was able to walk, and again I was in Kabul, and they killed a very young, she was, the lady, the bride, the sunshine of their family. She was not my friend. She was very young, talented, a journalist, very young, talented. And I asked for a press conference, and I told why this happening. There is a Karzai regime, the Pakistan over, but still the girls is not safe in Kabul, in capital of Afghanistan. So when I back to Pakistan, to of course to you know to my mother was there, and every Thursday night I was in Pakistan. My mom came from market, and she said, Marzia,
Take a deep breath.
remember, I was sitting in the chair. This was very close to the kitchen. And mom said, Marzia, I said, was yes. She said, you have to leave because the supermarket, the shopkeeper was very close, like close friend to our family. And he was told my mother to just say to Marzia, leave. Why she stay? Why? And some people was came to the market and was asking about our family address, our home address. Because she was, my mother was a mother, and was not difficult for her to see me again. That time I ran from Pulau Khumri. The
You
Taliban
went to
ran over me by car, and I think she don't want me to be killed or to see my body in front of her, and she told me I
I'm
have
sure
to leave.
she didn't want to see your body. She didn't
Yes,
want you
of
to
course,
die.
yeah. And the things is, I had at that time Yuki and US visa. I want to also bring the attention of all the people, they hearing this voice or they listening in this interview. No one willingly they leave their country. Please, their audience, very respected audience. That time when I left Afghanistan for conference, I was 29 years old. I've been to different countries, the age of 30, the age of 35, the age of 36. When I left Afghanistan, 43. Which time was for me was more better time to leave my country in the age of 32? 29, when I've been to different international trip, no one decide to leave their countries if there is not a problem. If there is not
Exactly.
a, yeah, the problem will be a huge problem, their safety problem.
No, I agree
So,
with you. This
thousands
assumption
of,
that is this
yes.
assumption that it's a choice. I'm choosing to leave my country to come is so misguided.
Yeah, that's the problem. When When my mom told me, and I said, okay, you know, the suitcase, my office suitcase, I called to my friend and they bought my ticket, and
And you left for the UK.
I plan to go to America because I already would know about some people in America. But my friend told me, no, that is that if you want to travel to America, you have to wait for one day because their ticket is not available very quick to go. So, and UK tickets are available. You know, you can fly tonight, 2 o'clock morning. I said, okay, just bother, please book the ticket. And I came with my mother at the airport. And she was, oh my, she was crying very, very,
Much.
you know, isn't just the voice, her loud, and the voice was, you know, like around the airport, to be honest. Like, is it kind of, you know, like you have the loudspeaker and you speak,
Yes.
like this. And echoing her voice around, and I inside in the airport because there was a, you know, you have to go for police check, and I asked again the officer. I said, "Can I go back just to see my mother? And I'm coming back." And I came out. And I just kissed my mom's feet, and I said, "I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry. I put you in a very, very difficult times. You escaped because of me. Your husband's house was took by the Taliban. All your items, all your things, you loved and you lost because of me. And you traveled to Pakistan because of me." And today you are in this situation because of me. I'm really sorry.
And what was her response?
Just told me, you know, go and be safe, be safe, just be safe. And I left, and I was in shock when I was in the plane, to be honest. So I arrived in this country legally. In the UK. I'm sorry. It's difficult for me to control, you know, my emotions. It's not
No,
easy for me to
don't,
control.
please don't apologize. It's not easy leaving your family, and it's not easy seeing the people you love and support you being harassed by the police because of something you did, even though you know what you did was right.
Yes, thank you. So, yeah.
So when you went to the UK, you then embarked on a new mission, and you started a campaign for women judges.
When I came to the UK, I was not able to speak a word of English.
Not a word of English.
No, because I finished in Arabic, you know, did my Sharia law in Arabic. We had an Arabic language and you know, the Dari Pashto. When I came here, 2010, I applied for 2009, when I really the process of my asylum application was very soft, very quick, to be honest. I had no need to a lot of proof or support later or something like that. So I got my status very quick, and I'm very grateful for that. But I came just for the suitcase, and my suitcase in the Manchester History Museum, and I gifted to them. And they, when I was for in my interview in Home Office, they was asking me about evidence or what I have, what I did. So I know my the process was very easy, but the
There's
life
a,
was not easy. Yeah,
but
my
there's a,
husband.
there's an expression in that in Greek that says, "I came on a boat of hope." My
Oh.
metaphors, because that's what you do. Your transport is your hope because
Wow,
That's
so
all you
really
have.
beautiful,
Well,
heart-touching, yeah. When I came here,
life is never easier when you are
no.
jumping into a new culture, especially when you're jumping into a new culture.
43. If you're young, it still is easy, to be honest. You know, you can learn it quicker. You know, you can adopt everything quicker. But when you're 43, you have full of, you know, your life full of problem, trauma, and you know, you like me, thousands of women, they have the same, you know, experience.
Exactly. So was your first, the first thing you did was to learn English?
Yes, in 2009, I put application for my mother to bring her here, but suddenly I lost my mother in Pakistan. I was not able
Go
to just
back.
go to say goodbye to her. Yeah, my mom was passed away in April 2010, and I
But
had.
I have to tell you, I also lost my mother when I was away. What is important is that you were with your mother when she was alive.
Oh yes, absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. So that
And
time
that
I,
you were safe.
yes, the thing she wants really, yeah,
That's what she really
and
wanted.
yeah, and I had very bad in depression, severe depression for 2 years, and one day I've been to the hospital. X-ray for my leg, because still I have some pain in my leg and my back. And the nurse told me, she put two masks, one mask again, the second. That was not Corona time, you know, 2010 was not a Corona time. I said, normally people, they put one mask, why she put two? And when she finished, and she was very nicely and very kindly, she told me, you know, Marzia, your life is your responsibility. You know, try to make a life in this country. And after that, after 6 or 7 days, I came, I took shower, I bought some food, and I enrolled to the Oldham College to learn English. How they opened the door, the Oldham College, I cannot explain, I cannot express my feeling. They're very, very welcoming. They are very kind, and they are very nice with me. And they told me, okay, they send me for assessment, and I start English from the beginner, beginner entry 1, 2, 3, and that was very funny. Sometimes, of course, you. Not criticize, you know, still, you know, the boys, the young boys, they make a joke on you, and because you're, you know, my age, but I did, like other women, and I learned English. The reason I learned English, because if you have pain and you want to do something, if you don't have it in the language, you cannot stand. If you have a passion, and you ask someone to translate your word, she or he cannot
Absolutely
express
not.
or explain. Yeah,
Absolutely not.
what do you want? You know, so I learned English, and of course I got my British citizen, and I start working and do campaigning. But when
But
the
tell
Taliban When
what
the
happened with the
Taliban,
term?
yeah, sorry, when the Taliban returned back to Afghanistan, I think 18 of August is the day everything in my life is a start from the beginning, like my campaign. But when I was in here, always I was involved with Afghanistan, in Afghanistan problems and media things. I was very involved that time as well. And it not means I was away from Afghanistan. I am away from Afghanistan. No one can be away. If you are away from your mother, but still, she is your mother. Your
Exactly.
country is your mother, you know? How can it's possible? Because I'm in England, I don't worry about my country. Of course, I was involved with my country every minute of my life. And when the Taliban came, one of my friend, my judiciary training friend, she called me I remember, and she told me, now the time, we should all together and make a nice. And they put me in the judges group. They have a
Okay.
WhatsApp group. Yeah. So that is the fight was started.
Okay, and that's when you started to do all the campaigning for the female judges, the Afghan female judges.
Yeah.
Okay, and is the campaigning in Afghanistan or the campaigning is also in the UK?
No, the campaigning, when the 18th of August, I was
I
at it
remember
in.
that day when the Americans pulled out of Kabul. It's here,
Yeah.
burnt into my brain.
Yeah, absolutely. The most tough time, tough days for Afghanistan. When I did in the WhatsApp group, and after that, the campaign started. Of course, I lead by them, by my colleagues. Lead means they give me all the things, and I
Yes.
explain to the world. There are a lot of news or articles I wrote. This is all the things is coming from them. That testimony I gave to a lot of, human rights organization, and my boss, the lady I work with her, she's the member of the parliament in the UK. The first speech made at the UK parliament was about the judges, the 18th of August.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The first speech about judges was
The
made by my boss. Yeah. And I explained to her about their situation. Because without government, we are not able, the organization, they are not able to issue visa for the judges. This is the government job. This is something is doing by the Home Office or by a State Department, by government, not by organization. It's
Yes.
very clear. We all know that.
And no
So,
system can really work unless there's a legal system in place.
yes, absolutely.
That's why
Yeah.
you need judges.
Yes. The campaign, we created a petition. The petition was delivered at the UK Parliament by very respected Joanna Chary. She's not anymore in the Parliament, but she was fantastic. She was very helpful. My boss, Debbie Abrahams, she made many speeches about the judges. They explained to the Parliament, and they shared the judges' situation. And still, I'm very closely working with some of policymakers in the UK. I don't want to mention their name and their offices.
Is there anything we can do to support?
Of course, why not? This campaign is about to come all together and spread the word to the other countries. The main problem we have right now, the problem is because we have around 39 judges left in Afghanistan, 39 female
Yes.
judges with their families. The problem, some of them, they was applied for P1. Is a US kind of US application. It's called P1. With the new management, they all in hold, and we don't know what will be happen. The European countries, if they all come together like as a cohort, if they accept maybe three or four of the judges in different countries, like European countries, if they accept five, two, like as a cohort, the teamwork, that is not impossible. That's possible if they do this. And my aim to carry on with this campaign, of course, the IWJ, International women judges, they're also doing a good job. They also making advocacy on,
Campaigns.
advocacy, and they were speaking with the governments and all other policymakers. But end of the day, all the decision is coming from the governments, not by organization. So we need to encourage the organization to do this, to and inspire them to encourage them, to ask them to help the judges for their resettlement from Afghanistan. So that is the way, of course, you can help. You can, our feminist friends or activists, they can make a meeting with their
Do you
policymakers.
have a website or anything online that people can read about or?
No, because we have I'm on social media on Twitter, and on Twitter I put a lot of things. Now it's called X, because they changed the name, and I put a lot of articles on my Twitter.
Okay.
Yes, is at Marzia, the same, exactly the same. I never changed my my background, my name, when I left Afghanistan, when I was in Afghanistan.
They can also find you on LinkedIn like I did.
Oh it's very kind, and so they can find me there, and of course, we can, the organization can be very helpful if they make a campaign, if they ask their MPs, the policymakers, and we can make like kind of group of campaigning, and I have really volunteer supporter around the world. What they do for me, they make a plan, they make for me, they helping me for my replying my emails, because the email going to very high level people, like they're very formal people, and I check with them. I have a professor, she's very nice, she wrote already two books, and she's helping me for, she giving me advice. This campaign is not running by me. This campaign running by leading and giving me ideas, stories, problems, and I'm sharing to the world. I am not
Okay.
taking credit. Like this campaign is not about her. I'm this is my country. My country is the main of everything. The problem is coming from Afghanistan, and I'm sharing to the world. And if the people want to come together, our sisters, this campaign will be achieved more than today.
Okay, so what you're saying is that people can follow you on Twitter and on LinkedIn, find out information, and if they want to contribute, help, or whatever, they contact you directly. Thank you very much for sharing your story with me. I'm very inspired and very touched and very glad that you're safe.
Thank you.
And to the listeners, I thank them for listening, and I would like the listeners to also stay safe. Thank you, Marzia.
Very grateful.
The first trilingual podcast station of Cyprus, Island Talks. Open, diverse, free.